verse number 11. I want to read one verse and then we'll skip to verse 14 and read down through verse 16. And then we'll go to Psalm 126, verses 1 through 3. And that will be our reading for the message this morning. If you'd like to stand and join us, we'd be happy for your participation in the reading this morning. Acts chapter number 12. Reading these verses, you'll remember and pick up pretty quickly on what is taking place here in Acts chapter 12. Verse number 11, let's read it together. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Let's move to verse 14. "And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, 'Thou art mad.' But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. They said, 'It is his angel.' But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished." Psalm 126, verse 1. Let's read it together. "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, 'The Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad.'" May the Lord bless His word. You may be seated here in the presence of the Lord. I'd like to use for a title today, "You Thought It Was a Dream." You thought it was a dream. And I'd like to engage your mind a little bit here this morning. How many times in life has God so abruptly changed the circumstances in your life that for a time you really could not be certain of the reality of the circumstances? It just seemed too good to be true. It just seemed like it was beyond what you could imagine of something good that would happen to you in your life. And sometimes those experiences are few and further between than what we would like for them to be. But I've noticed that at least it seems like that our generation, or this maybe the younger generation than I, has coined a phrase, and I hear it referred to as, at times they'll say something happened and they'll say a certain thing is about to take place, and they say, "Oh, it was the wow factor." Anybody ever heard that? It was the wow factor. And we think, man, you know, that's really something. If it has the wow factor, and it's so refreshing and encouraging when God affords those things in our life where we have to take a moment and try to understand if we really are in reality. That just seems so good. And I really think that's where Peter finds himself here in chapter 12. Amen. I really believe the book of the 12th chapter of the book of Acts could be called the wow chapter, because there's so many things that happened in that chapter that just seemed to be so supernatural and beyond the realm of possibility. Amen. Now we know that the ones of us that believe and pray that God can do anything, and He has the ability to do anything at any time. But also, God does do things at times because we pray and we ask Him to. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We certainly have some notable figures in chapter 12. Herod Agrippa, who is the grandson of Herod the Great, who is also the one that tried to destroy Jesus as an infant. We also have the apostles, James and Peter, who were very influential men in the organization of the early church. There's also a damsel by the name of Rhoda, who has a key role in our text. And also the church that is in a collective prayer meeting. Hallelujah. In addition to these things, we have soldiers, we have prisoners, we have angels. All of these components coming together to make a wild chapter. Amen. And many in this chapter seem to think that it was only a dream. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 12 and verse number 4, we find out Herod, amen, he has already done a lot of things. We find out what his immediate plans are for the future. But thank God for verse number 5. There's a little three-letter word, but. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yes. And that is the change. That's the caveat for what this powerful man has in mind to do. Amen. Acts chapter 12 and verse number 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Amen. Amen. Peter was kept in prison. Here we are. Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Somebody say, let's have a prayer meeting. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, you need to say that again. Let's have a prayer meeting. God, come on. Let's have a prayer meeting. Oh, yes. Herod is the man in charge. He is the man with the political winds at his back. He's the man that is going to go down in history as the first king that committed one of the 12 apostles to martyrdom. He had arrested James. He had slew James with the edge of the sword. Amen. He saw that was popular with the Jews. That same crowd that crucified Jesus was still in control. Amen. At this time, they were still very much in control. They did not like what was happening. They did not take well to the growth of the New Testament church that was growing by leaps and bounds that we read about in the book of Acts. So he just took James and slew him and forced him into martyrdom. And he's seen that the Jews, the ruling class of the church, of the synagogues, and you have to understand these puppet kings that the Romans had put in place as mere governors over these parts of the land that was divided up after Herod the Great had died. Amen. They had a job on their hands because the Jews were a stiff-necked people and they did not like having to bow and pay tribute to the Romans. Amen. And listen, they used, the Romans were happy to use the rulers of the religious class, the scribes and the Pharisees, if you will, and the lawyers, and those, especially the high priest, which had much to do with the crucifixion of Christ. They were happy to manipulate them to get them to control their crowd or their crew, which is the religious bunch, so they could have a little bit of peace in a very troubled, amen, a very troubled time for the nation of Israel. Israel. Amen. And that's what Herod Agrippa was. He was just a little puppet, if you will, a puppet ruler. He really was under the control of Rome as well. But because it benefited him politically with the religious class and the ruling class of the synagogues at that time, and was the prevailing doctors that were taught among the Jewish nation, he was happy to do whatever it took to keep them happy. Hallelujah. They would do that. We noticed that during the time of the mock trials of Christ, how one would use the other. If the Jews didn't want to do something, they would send him to Pilate. If Pilate didn't want to do something, he would send him to the high priest. And they were constantly playing each other back and forth. The same thing is going on here. Amen. And so he killed James, and it pleased the Jews, and it kind of helped him with them for the time being. So he said, I'll just go ahead and arrest Peter. Amen. Now it's getting close to Easter. The Passover is upon us. Amen. But it'll make everything go smoother during Passover week with all the turmoil and all the crowds that come into Jerusalem. If they know that I have Peter locked up, and as soon as Easter's over, we're going to take him and we're going to make a martyr out of him just like we did James. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But the church is motivated, amen, partly probably because of what they had seen happen to James. Amen. Instead of just taking it, they do what the church has always done. The church went to prayer. Amen. And God answered prayer and moved on the behalf of the church and rescued the man of God out of the prison house. Can somebody say amen in the house this morning? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Herod, he's the dude in charge. I mean, he's got it going on. You read those first five verses. It tells what he has done. It tells us what he's going to do. It lays out the plans for what he's going to do. Amen. Oh, yes. And he is proceeding with his plans. Amen. After Peter is arrested, he's handed over to 16 soldiers, 4 quaternions of soldiers. That's 4. 4 and 4 and 4. Amen. 16 soldiers to watch over one preacher. Amen. Amen. You know, we can tell from the text. We know that when the angel come in there where Peter was, amen, and I imagine that he was chained or handcuffed on his right hand to the left hand of one of the soldiers, and Peter's left hand to the right hand of one of the soldiers. Amen. I don't know if they got paid overtime. I don't know if they had Obamacare. No, it's been a little silly. They didn't have that. But whatever their shift was, Brother Arnold, if it was 6 hours or 8 hours, and their shift was over, there was 2 more, and they had 16 in this rotation. Amen. Are y'all still here? Probably 2 keeping an eye outside. Does anybody have a clue why Herod might have been a little concerned, amen, about this fellow? I mean, he's a real Jekyll and Hyde. He's one that could slip in and slip out. Amen. There had been a time before that they had Peter in the prison house. Amen. And they went down on the day they were going to bring him into court, and they went down to get him out, and he wasn't there. Amen. So Herod's taking no chances. I wish somebody'd help me preach in here this morning. He wasn't taking any chances on Peter this time. We got 14 men lined up, and we're going to put them in a rotation, and we're going to make sure this time that there's no funny business. There's nobody working behind the lines, nobody working behind the scenes. scenes. Nobody doing an inside job. We're going to make sure we hold him. Amen. But let me tell you something. When the church goes to prayer, it doesn't matter if there's 16 or 16,000. When God gets ready to deliver, he can get his man out of Dodge. Amen. Any way he decides to do it, can you say amen? Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. I believe it's important to point out, amen, that there was a rotation of the soldiers. But I also believe, and this is might be something we ought to try sometime. Down at the house of John Mark, there was a prayer meeting that was going on for a solid week. Somebody say amen. Oh yes, this is the week. Amen. You get the setting. This is the week of Passover, of unleavened bread, until Easter. That's 1 week's time. And Peter's arrested and in prison. And the church starts up a prayer meeting in John Mark's house. And I believe that prayer meeting was also a rotation. Amen. Can you take it for an hour? And you take it for an hour. And you take it for an hour, and you take it for an hour, amen. You pray from 6 to 8, you pray from 8 to 10, amen. Come on now, I don't know what kind of system they had, but I believe for a solid week, 24 hours a day, there was people of the saints of God from the church at Jerusalem that was praying and holding on and crying out to God for a deliverance for Peter. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I wonder what a difference it would make in our prayer meetings if we knew what 16 things had a hold of our loved ones that are unsaved. Is it all right if I just talk to you for a little while? Would it motivate us to a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week prayer meeting if our eyes were open? I, you know what? It may be a lot more than just 16 things. But this 16 is stuck in my mind right now because it was 16 soldiers that were keeping guard over Peter. Amen. Oh, I need the church to work with me a little bit this morning. Do you have loved ones that are lost? Do you have loved ones that you see the enemy? Amen. My heart is breaking within me this morning because I have loved ones that are dear to me that are lost. And I just wonder if I could see if the scales were taken off of my eyes and I could see 16 big soldiers that have them chained up and then are watching over them and are taking turns like shift work to make sure that I don't get a prayer answered, to make sure that I don't get through to where they're at. I wonder, would it make a difference if all of a sudden on this big screen, amen, our spiritual eyes could be open for a moment and we could see everything that has our people bound. If we could see all the spirits that are working inside our churches to discourage and to distract and to get people's minds on other things while all the time he's taking valuable resources right out away from us. I wonder if it would make a difference in our life. I heard a preacher give an illustration one time. He said he was deep sea fishing. Listen to me preach now. Come on, I know we got a lot of folks out. I understand. I get that. I do. It's probably bothering me more than it's bothering y'all. Amen. But yet we can't not afford to mark off a service and say nothing's going to happen. It's not going to happen today. We're not going to have a breakthrough. We're not going to have an altar service. We don't know what God wants to do and what he might do right here if we just loosen up a little bit. Amen. And reach on out to God and believe that he is able through the prayers of the saints to bring deliverance to the captive. And it's always the ones, Brother John, that are praying that the enemy tries to discourage us, to keep us from praying, because he knows better than we that prayer works. While that rotating prayer meeting was going on at John Mark's house, they had no clue, even though they were praying and praying in faith. But I can prove it to you in chapter 12. They really didn't have a lot of faith about what they were praying about, because when Peter showed up knocking at the door, they said, hey, it can't be him. He's in prison. Well, what are you praying about? Yeah, I know, but he's in prison. Yeah, but aren't you praying for him to get out? Yeah, but he's in prison. Somebody go open the door. No, no, no. It's just his angel. You thought it was a dream, didn't you? Boy, I want to encourage somebody here this morning. Here, this preacher's deep sea fishing. And he hung something big. He knew it was big. Hadn't had a lot of experience deep sea fishing, according to his word. He's pulling that thing in, reeling it in. It's working him down, wearing him down. Maybe it goes on for 30 minutes or sometimes. I don't know for sure, but that part, he was getting weary. He said he got that big fish real close to the boat. And he said, close enough they could see it. This is what he said. He said, that fish jumped up out of the water and looked at me. He said, when he looked at me, he turned and went down. And he said, that time when he went down, there was no stopping him. He kept going till he broke the line. And then he went on to make the point, if we could see what has a hold of us. Are y'all going to help me preach in here this morning? If we could see what has hold of our young people, if we could see what has hold of our loved ones that are lost. Oh, I wonder if we'd fight a little harder. I wonder if we'd go down on our knees and say, I'm not getting up. I'm not leaving this prayer meeting. I am not going to allow anything else in my life until I get a breakthrough. Come on, church. We've got to have a breakthrough. Amen. God has shown us over and over and over through the power, amen, of His Spirit, that prayer does have an impact. And it changes things. And our loved ones are lost, needlessly lost. They're straying in sin, and they're not getting any younger. And the devil is not letting up on them. He's rotating the soldiers. He's making sure they don't get out. He's making sure their mind doesn't get 1 minute to even think soberly. He's keeping them occupied. He's keeping them fresh, strong things in their life to keep them distracted from what's important in their life. And I just wonder if it would make a difference. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you just lift your hands right now? Let's just take a moment, give God the praise for what He's doing. Amen. Help us, Lord, here today. We really need to have a breakthrough. God needs to do something. I believe God wants to do something. Amen. I believe we can have a breakthrough in this service this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Peter's in the prison. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The angel comes where he's at. It sounds like he's way back in the inner prison. Amen. All of a sudden the light shines inside that prison. That's what we need to happen. That's what we need for God to do for our lost loved ones. Right in the midst of their darkness, right in the midst of their bondage, we need the light to shine in on them. Amen. I don't know about you, but it kind of makes me wonder if that light that shone in that prison wasn't the same light that was light to the Israelites and darkness to the Egyptians. Amen. Because light came in that prison, and the angel smote Peter on the side and said, get up, Peter, and bind on your sandals. Amen. In our words, wake up. Get your clothes on. Get your shoes on. What do you mean? I'm bound between two soldiers. Amen. But the light has shined in the prison. Hallelujah. Because the saints are in a prayer meeting at John Mark's house. They don't know I'm down here doing this. But they're being faithful in prayer. And I'm going to answer. answer their prayer. I'm going to deliver you, Peter. It's not your prayers this time. You're sleeping right through it. Somebody else's prayers. Come on, somebody say somebody else's prayers. Say it again, somebody else's prayers. Hey man, is there any of us would be here? Is there one of us that would be here this morning had it not been for somebody else's prayers? Thank God for those prayers that were prayed 30 or 40 or 50 years ago. Thank God somebody prayed and I'm free. Thank God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. The soldiers, all 16 of them, seemed to sleep right through it. Even those two that were chained, arm to arm, they just slept right on through it. I imagine when it was over for them, they thought it was a dream too. What happened? What? Peter, come on, let's go. Got his shoes on. Chains fell off. They walked past the first ward. Second ward. Acts chapter 12 said one street. I don't know if that's one street or first street. But anyway, they're out on one street. And then the angels, see you later, Peter. Would y'all work with me just a little bit here today? I'm asking. At least put on a smile. Can you? I mean, talking about Peter getting out of prison, can you get happy about that? Praise God. I mean, he's out. Yeah, all he can think is, man, I must have had a dream. You know, when I went to sleep last night, I was chained to a soldier on my right hand and my left hand. My shoes were off. And I was way, way in there. And now my shoes are on. There's no chains. And I'm out here. Past the first and second ward and the iron gate. Man, it must be a dream. That's what he thought. Something happened. Oh, hallelujah. But after a while, realizing, oh man, this is reality. This is reality. What do all preachers do when they get in trouble? What do we all do? We run to the church. Praise God. I know the saints have got to be somewhere praying. And sure enough, they go down to John Mark's. He goes over to John Mark's house. Man, probably before he gets there, he can hear him. Thank God. It still has to be somewhere in the wee hours of the morning because this is the last night that Peter's going to spend in prison. Herod's coming to get him in the morning. But thank God the church was praying and holding on to God for a breakthrough for Peter. Hallelujah. Amen. Again, I wonder. Knock on the door. Sound like they're praying. You know, he may have been standing outside trying to, you know, between the knocks. Yeah, that sounds like Brother Bruce in there. Yeah, I believe that's Brother Troy in there. Yeah. Ooh. Well, I believe that's Sister Reed's voice I heard over there above all the rest of them. I believe that's her. And they're saying, Lord, deliver Peter out of the prison house. Lord, break those chains. Whatever you have to do, Lord, get Peter out of there. And Peter's knocking on their door. Hey, y'all can quit praying now. I'm here. I'm in here now. I'm here, but they're still just praying on. Boy, I tell you what. You know what, church? Sometimes it's time for us to quit asking. I wish somebody would hear me this morning. It's time for us to quit asking and start receiving, praise God. I mean, we take up 30 minutes on Sunday night sometimes taking up prayer requests. Amen. And I'm not aggravated at you or anybody else about giving in a prayer request. But I tell you what I'm tired of. I'm tired of you having to give in the same old one over and over and over and over. It's time for God to give us a breakthrough. And we start praising God because He has answered some prayers instead of still praying on about the same old thing. Amen. All the prayers, Brother Glenn, are inside John Mark's house praying. And the prayee, am I saying that right? The prayee is outside. Maybe they'll hear me after a while. Oh, y'all. I'm wanting to preach and I'm wanting y'all to praise and worship, and y'all are wearing me out and making me tired, and I'm about ready to give up and quit. Come on, church. Are y'all ready to have a breakthrough? Or do y'all want to keep having prayer requests? Are you ready to have a breakthrough? Are you ready to start seeing those things come to pass in your life? Hey, man, I'm going to ask you one more time again. Would you just worship God for a moment? Hey, man, think about how wonderful it would have been to have been in that prayer meeting when Peter was there. Hallelujah. And John Mark's mother was there and all the other saints were there. Thank God for a breakthrough and an answer to prayer. But prayer, but you don't understand, preacher. My children are lost. But prayer was made. Our church is going through a hard place. But prayer was made. Hey, man, the government says they're going to do such and such. But prayer. Prayer was made. Prayer is the caveat, that little small word that changes things in our life because of prayer from the saints. Amen. Did you realize a change there when y'all loosened up just a little bit? Amen. I'm telling you, y'all have heard me preach long enough. It'll never mess up my preaching to a worshiping church. You'll get more out of the preaching and more out of the message and more out of the service if you'll worship while it's going on. Thank God He wants us to receive. He wants us to believe. He wants us to have the blessing. He wants us to have a testimony service. God does answer prayer in these last days. Hallelujah. Thank God. I remember I was probably 18 years old. There was a little lady we worshiped with by the name of Sister Earlene Watkins. She had a son and a daughter-in-law. Her youngest son and daughter-in-law, Johnny and Janice Watkins. Man, I heard their names so many times. Scarcely knew them. Had only seen them a very few times in my life. But I heard their name over and over. You say, y'all, you understand I'm not making fun of us in our prayer requests. I'm telling you, those prayer requests can turn into praise reports. Oh, come on, saints of God. Oh, I'm wanting God to do it again. Amen. There's a burden on my heart right now. Amen. There were some that should have been here today that I thought was going to be here and they're not. And sometimes disappointment can overwhelm us almost. But you know what? We got to pray. The church could have been overwhelmed and said there's no need. Peter's no better than James. And James is already gone. They'll probably kill Peter too. We might as well get some rest, embrace, and get ready for it. That's not what they done. Amen. You see, Johnny had some things attached to him. Amen. He had some vices, some habits, you know, like cigarettes and like a lot of other things. He'd been on the battlefield in Vietnam and brought back some trauma, some things in his mind. Come on now. Oh, yes, sir. He had a different boy come home than what went over. Oh, yes, sir. I'm telling you the truth. But you know what? That Sunday morning, they showed up to church. I had never, ever remembered seeing them in church before. And their children were up good size. And here they are on a Sunday morning. And everybody's just, we're about like the church at John Mark's house. Everything we've been praying for, and we can't hardly believe it. And it don't seem like it's reality. We're kind of almost pinching ourselves. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We pulled up in the driveway on Sunday night, Sunday evening. In church, and their car was already here. Amen. Sunday morning and Sunday night. Man, I couldn't hardly wait. And the saints couldn't hardly either to altar call time, because we knew if they showed up two times in a row, that conviction was moving burning on their heart. Amen. That's one service I'll never forget. When Johnny and Janice Watkins walked down the aisle that Sunday night, and in about 5 or 10 minutes time, their hands went up in full surrender, and God saved them and changed them and brought them out and got them unhooked from every one of those things that had them bound. Somebody give him praise in the house. Amen. I wanted you to know this morning, if you're praying, I'm preaching to you. I'm encouraging you while you're praying and while you're holding on and you see no evidence that anything in their life is changing. You keep right on praying. It's not a dream. I have to believe on the authority of God's word in faith in my heart. What I have prayed about these last 2 weeks, God has heard, and He will answer. He will deliver. I speak it by faith. I call those things that be not as though they were, because I believe in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody come and get me a song. I'm just about through preaching. You see, there's a lot of things that we know now about those testimonies that we didn't know before. Because all of those years that Sister Erlene was saying, pray for Johnny and Janice, and absolutely showed no evidence or no signs that any of those prayers were having the least bit effect on their life. But after they got saved, amen. Oh, y'all hear me now. If you're praying for a lost loved one, if you're praying about any need in your life, I'm preaching to you. I'm encouraging you right now. Amen. You don't have to see the evidence. You don't have to know. Amen. But after they got saved, I heard Brother Johnny stand up and say, I lived up here on 161st Street and I had to drive this road every day to go to work and come home from work. And he said, I got under such conviction that I would go a mile to 71st Street and a mile up 71st and another mile back, 3 miles out of the way, just to keep from driving in front of the church on 61st Street. And we had not a clue that anything was going on. I'm telling you, Peter didn't know it, and the saints didn't know it, but God was answering their prayer right at the time they didn't even realize. I can prove it, because when he showed up, they didn't believe it was him. You thought it was a dream. Boy, I hope somebody tonight. And I'm kind of thinking, the way I have battled to preach today, and my spirit, the way I feel like I've had to war, that somebody may be on the verge of a breakthrough. It may be tonight, praise God. It may be next Sunday. It may be right around the corner, thank God. Amen. It might be nearer than what you can imagine. Because when we're praying and we're praying in faith, we don't always have the signs, the evidence pointing that our prayers are working. We like that immediate gratification. We like to know that we prayed today and this happened by noon. Man, God answers prayer, don't he? Well, I prayed about that last night and it happened today. I prayed about that last revival and boy, it's already come to pass. Man, God answers prayer. What about those ones we prayed about for 30 or 40 years? And the devil says, you prayed about that so long. I wouldn't pray about that anymore. Just put your efforts and your energy somewhere else. Amen. But little did the church know that God was divinely, miraculously, above and beyond what they could ask or think, woo, was delivering and answering their prayer. Is there anybody I'm preaching to right now that's got a prayer that needs an answer? By faith, would you lift your hand? Anybody here got a prayer that needs an answer? I mean something you're praying about and holding on and believing God for. Hold them up just a moment so the Holy Ghost can just kind of walk around here and see us and see our faith. Anybody got a prayer that's unanswered? Amen. Would you just right now in the name of Jesus, while they're getting ready to sing, would you go ahead while your hand is still raised and begin to praise God? Because I believe the answer to that prayer is at somebody's door. Listen close. Start watching for clues. Start listening. It just might be that God is fixing to answer your prayer. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Holy, 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 holy. Oh, I know God does it. I know God does it. I know God does it. I know He does. How many examples and illustrations do we need? Praise God. I look back there and see Brother Ken, Sister Sherry. I remember that testimony. After years of being away from God, backslid. I mean, it turned into years. It turned into decades. And they seemed so uninterested. Seemed like nothing would change their mind. But after, are y'all hearing me now? The devil tries to keep us on the other side. But after. Sister Sherry stands up over here on the third, between these second, third seat and says, one night, man, it was so real. You thought it was a dream, didn't you? You thought it was a dream. Are y'all getting my title this morning? You thought it was a dream. Mama's praying, brothers and sisters are praying, nieces and nephews are praying, but it shows no evidence that there's a crack in the wall. But sometime during that time, God was saying out loud, Sherry, come home. Sherry, come home. Over. You know, am I telling it right, sister? All night long. Over and over and over and over and over. Ain't no need to pray for them anymore. Don't look like it's ever going to happen. They're not interested. They're not showing any interest at all. Nothing's changing. But little did we know, God was answering that prayer and we just didn't know it. Sherry, come home. Sherry, come home. Johnny and Janice, come home. Come on back. God's got something. Oh, hallelujah. Do y'all feel the Spirit of the Lord moving in here this morning? Am I up here all by myself? Is this just me or y'all feeling it back there too? Is somebody getting some faith in your heart right now? I wonder all of those hands. Man, it was not a trick. I didn't even think about it to right now, but I wonder what kind of service we would have tonight. I wonder what kind of service that we would have next Sunday morning if every one of those hands that I saw go up a while ago was here about 5:30 or 6 o'clock and for a solid hour bombarding heaven in rotation if you have to, like the church at John Mark Mark's house was, they were praying and holding on and believing God to give them a deliverance. I believe that prayer works. It's the enemy that tries to discourage you because he knows it works and he knows if he can make you stop, that more than likely those prayers will never be answered if we quit praying. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, I'm ready for our answer to prayer to start showing up at our door. Knocking on the door saying, I'm here now. I'm here. You can change now. You can go ahead and wake up. It's not a dream. God's really done this. Amen. Amen. Come on, church. Would you stand all over this house right now? Amen. I think it'd be good again if from our heart we would just worship God and let Him know we're glad we're in His house. We're glad we can trust Him. We're glad He answers prayer. We know that He goes above and beyond. We know that He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. He is a God that knows no limits. He's a God that can and will and is wanting to do something on your behalf. Somebody say praise the Lord. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, church. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for answers to prayer. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I feel God moving in here this morning. Maybe somebody right now is getting some faith. Hey man, why don't you just step on out right now? Get on out in the aisle. Move on down toward the front. Amen. Oh, yes. I'm giving a general altar call right now. Amen. Sort of like those that wanted to get first in the water. Amen. When the water's troubled, you want your prayer answered. You want God to do something in your life. Why don't you just seek Him with all your heart? Why don't you get out of your comfort zone? Why don't you pray in a little different spot? Why don't you rotate? Why don't you move around a little bit? Amen. And believe God to come through for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
I'm tired of standing glory. On the bank and not receiving all the good things that the Lord has promised me. And He has promised in His Word that I can
come. Oh God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I believe You.
I'm not
I believe You, Lord, I believe.
To walk out and
Holy. Glory be to Jesus. Thank God for the breakthrough.
To that living water.